verse 19 of John chapter 4, let's stand for the reading of the word. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be together tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you've assembled us here in God's house to hear the word of God, to worship the Lord. Oh, God, to contribute to this assembly. Heavenly Father, I pray that through this service tonight, hearts would be lifted up and encouraged. Your name would be honored among us, and we'll give you glory and honor. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight for a few minutes on worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Lord is dealing with a woman here at the well in Samaria who is a Samaritan woman. She is not a Jew. She's really not a Gentile. She's a mixture of Jew and Gentile. And she's part of that group of people who, when the Assyrians came and took the Israelites in bondage and stripped the land of the Jews, pretty much, left some there, and then shipped in people from other parts of their empire, and these people mixed together, and so they were half-breeds. The Jews didn't have anything to do with them, not only because they were half-breeds, but because they had a preferred form of worship. They had a separate temple. They had a temple at Mount Gerizim, and the Jews had their temple in Jerusalem. Well, you know how that Jesus dealt with this woman about her sin, told her to go bring her husband, and she said, I don't have one. And the Lord said, I know that. You've had five, and the one you've got now is not your husband. And she tried to divert the conversation away from her sin by saying to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus began to instruct her in the proper way to worship. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about the nature of God and the nature of worship. First of all, the nature of God. Jesus told us that God is spirit. Now, our translation says God is a spirit, and the word a there is not necessarily in the original languages. It says God is spirit. This is the nature of God. God is spirit. And he isn't composed of the same things that make up the universe. God is not part of the creation. He's the creator. He made everything that can be seen, tasted, smelt, felt. God made all of that. But God is not part of the creation. God is above the creation. He's beyond the creation. He's greater than the creation. God is spirit. And the Bible teaches us that God is he's not a man. He's not a man like we are. He's not part of his creation. God is spirit. That is the essential nature of God. And understanding the nature of God, helps us to understand the proper way to worship God. The Bible teaches us that the gods of the nations are idols. All of them are the product of the minds of men. Men formed these idols in their mind, created them with their hands, gave them their attributes, assigned them their attributes. And so they make gods out of stone and gods out of wood and gods out of silver and gods out of gold. They give them eyes, they give them ears, they give them mouths, they give them hands, they give them feet. And they assign to their gods what attributes they want them to have. And the amazing thing about the God of the heathens is how much those gods resemble the men who made them. They have the same fallacies, the same failures, the same sins, only magnified in the gods that they have made. Because, you know, there's only two ways that you can understand a God. You either make one or you understand that there's a God who made you. And we worship the God that made us, and He is Spirit. And that's the reason why that the Bible tells us in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, earth beneath, or under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate Him, and shows mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and worship Him. So the Lord forbade us to make graven images. Now, you understand that He was not talking about making another God. He was talking about making a representation of the true and living God. God is Spirit. That is the essential nature of God. And God says you're not to make any representation of Me. Anything that you make of God, that you say this is God, if you can see it, if it is made out of material things, you know, they made a golden calf at the base of the mount of Sinai. After God had told them not to make a graven image, they made a golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai. They said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. They were not making another God. This is Jehovah, they said. This golden calf represented strength. It represented power. But God said, you're not to make a representation of Me, because there's nothing in all of the universe, nothing in all of the creation that can demonstrate the greatness of our God. And anything we make, any representation that we make of God, brings God down, reduces God. God is Spirit, and we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. The nature of worship has to be in accord with the nature of our God. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. What that means is that we worship God in the realm of the Spirit. So, true worship takes place in the spirit of man. That's the reason why that before a man can be a true worshiper of God, he must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit, man's spirit. So before we can worship God in spirit, our spirit has to be renewed. Because we are dead spiritually before we are born again of the Spirit of God. No man that has not been born again, if a man has not been born again, he cannot worship God in spirit. We have to be born again of the Spirit in order to worship God in spirit. So we worship God in the realm of the Spirit. You understand that no man can worship God who does not know God. And salvation consists in knowing God, coming to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is what eternal life consists of, a personal knowledge of God, knowing God. Nobody can worship God who does not know God. It's impossible to worship a God you don't know. You cannot worship one that you're not acquainted with. Not only can't you not worship a God you don't know, but you can't worship a God that you don't love. If you don't love Him, you don't adore Him. You have to love God. This is what it means to be saved. God puts a love in our heart for Him so that we worship Him. I'm telling you, brother, it's impossible to be a Christian and not worship God. Oh, yeah. If you are a Christian, then you are a worshiper of God, a true worshiper of God. For it is impossible to be a Christian, to know God and love Him, and not worship Him. Oh, we declare from our heart the song that Sister Medora sang tonight, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Hallelujah. Both are special tonight. It dealt with the greatness of God and giving praise to God and honor to God. And anybody that knows God and loves God cannot help but worship God. We worship God in spirit, in the realm of the spirit. We also worship God in truth. We worship God in the realm of truth. You understand that it is the truth of God's Word that teaches us the greatness of God. God cannot be known by discovery, by man's ingenuity, by man's searching. The only way to know God is through revelation. God reveals Himself in the pages of this book. And we know God because God has revealed Himself in the Word of God. This Word is truth. We worship God in the realm of truth. This Bible teaches us who God is. It tells us about His greatness. It tells us about His power. It tells us about His compassion. It tells us about His love. The heathen are afraid of their gods. They worship their gods through terror and fear. But the Bible tells us about this God that made everything, that He is a God of love and a God of compassion. We wouldn't know about the love of God if we didn't have the Word of God. But the Bible declares that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how we know that God's a God of love, because the truth tells us what kind of God God is. So that's the reason why that we study the Bible. This is one of the main reasons that we study the Word of God, is because the Word of God tells us who God is, makes known to us the kind of God that made us and redeemed us. And so we search the Scriptures to find out what kind of God that loved us and made us and redeemed us. We worship God in the realm of truth. Brother, this is the only way that man can worship God, is in spirit and in truth. There are people who cannot worship God without the proper setting. There was a people there at Mount Gerizim. You know, they had to have the temple at Mount Gerizim. We worship God at Mount Gerizim. And you Jews worship God in the temple at Jerusalem. So you've got to have this temple at Mount Gerizim. Or you've got to have this temple at Jerusalem. You've got to have the right atmosphere, the right setting in order to worship God. And Jesus destroyed the arguments. He said, we've gone beyond that argument of a temple at Gerizim and a temple at Jerusalem. But now then, God is seeking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth, so that it doesn't matter what the setting is. You don't have to be at Mount Gerizim. You don't have to be in the temple at Jerusalem. But wherever you are, if your heart is right, if your heart is true, if you know the Lord, you can worship God in a hut. You can worship God in your home. You can worship God whether it's a cathedral or whether it is a brush arbor. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, brother, what matters is that you know Him and that you love Him and that you worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's got to be a sincerity about us. I'm telling you, brother, this is the highest exercise known to man, is to be able to know God and worship God. Every time we assemble together in this place, in this place right here. I'm telling you, this building is not the temple of God. We thank God for this building. It's a place where we assemble together. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in us. The church is made up of people. People where God lives in them. People that the Holy Ghost lives in them. We are the temple of God. Individually and corporately, we are the temple of God. And God dwells in us. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you can worship God wherever you may be. On your job, in your home, amen. In Walmart, it don't matter where you are. You can worship God. If you are a true worshiper of God, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit, you cannot confine God to one place. You can't confine Him to the temple at Gerizim. You can't confine Him to the temple at Jerusalem. God is everywhere. And brother, when we belong to Him and we know Him and we love Him, we worship God everywhere and anywhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to know, are you a true worshiper of God? I want to know, do you worship God in spirit and in truth? Do you worship God on the inside? Are you one of those that has to have the right setting? Are you one of those that has to have the right atmosphere? Or do you know Him? Do you know Him when you're at home by yourself? Do you love Him when you're at home by yourself? Do you know Him and do you love Him when you're in a hostile world, surrounded in the marketplace by those who hate the one you love? Can you worship God on your job? Do you worship God in your home? Whether your home's a place of peace or whether it's a place of trouble, do you know Him and love Him and worship Him in your home? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, brother. This God that we serve is a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. And we ought to love Him and worship Him wherever we are, giving God the glory that's due unto His name in our spirit. You know, I know there's a place for clapping hands and maybe running the aisles and getting real excited about God. I know that there's a place for that. And we do that sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord comes. But we don't have to have a certain atmosphere. We don't have to have a certain setting. We don't have to be at Mount Gerizim. We don't have to be at Jerusalem where the temple is. We don't have to have a certain kind of music. We don't have to have certain people around us. Hallelujah. Oh, we love Him. We know Him and we love Him. And it doesn't matter where we are. We worship God. Praise God. Our homes. Listen, brother. Our homes ought to be places, a place of worship. A holy place. A place where God is welcome. A place where God is elevated. A place where God is exalted. A place where God is glorified. In our homes, we ought to have a place of worship in our homes. Hallelujah. Our homes ought to be places of worship. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you now, if you're not living for Him, if you don't obey Him, if you're not keeping His commandments, if you're not conscious of the Word of God and what God has told us to do, you can't worship a God that you're not willing to obey. You hear me? I said you cannot worship a God you're not willing to obey. You've got to be willing to obey God. You've got to worship Him in truth. You've got to submit to the truth in order to worship God. You can't worship God while you're thumbing your nose at Him. You're not willing to keep His commandments. You're not willing to do what He says. You carry around in your heart a rebellious attitude toward God, toward the things of God. You cannot worship God. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. If you can't worship God here, you're not going to worship God in heaven. Because that's what heaven's about, brother. We're going to be giving God glory and honor in heaven. We're going to be worshiping God, crying with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We're just practicing up for heaven here. Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows God and worships God, loves God, will be true worshipers of God. I mean, this is important to us. Worshiping God is important to us. And it isn't just something that we do on Sunday mornings. It isn't just something that we do on Wednesday nights or Sunday evenings. We worship God all week long. I'm telling you, brother, our prayer time ought to be more than just give me, God. It ought to be a time that we come to God and say, God, you've been good to me. You're a great God. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. We worship you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We meditate upon the goodness of God. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in our hearts, in our very home. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Our homes ought to be a place of worship. Praise God. Amen. And when we come to the house of God on Sunday mornings, if we have been in an attitude of worship all week long, God has been precious to us all during the week. We have obeyed Him. We have served Him. We've given ourselves to Him to live for Him and to do His will in our life. It's not hard to come to the house of God when you got other people of like mind, like faith, like-minded, who also love Him and worship Him. It's not hard to come together and give God glory and honor when all week long you've been giving God glory and honor in your life. In fact, you can't hardly wait to get there on Sunday morning. Praise God. You know, the world lives for Friday night. We live for Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That's what we live for. The world lives for Friday night. I got to get that paycheck. We're going to have a big time tonight. And this weekend, we're going to have a big time. But that child of God lives for Sunday morning. Praise God. We're going to the house of God. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to give glory and honor to the one that loved us, made us, and redeemed us by His blood, saved us out of our sins and out of this sinful world, and opened the doors of heaven to us, and has blessed our lives. And we live for Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Just can't hardly wait to get to the house of God. Like David, we say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, there's a joy in worshiping God. Is it a joy to you to worship God, to give honor and praise unto Him? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, you know, I hope we never get to the place where going to the house of God is just a ritual and a routine that we go through because it's our duty to do it. Something we dread doing, but we know we ought to. I hope we never get to that place. I hope that God means so much to us, that we love Him so good, that we esteem Him so highly, that we just can hardly wait to get to the house of God and give God glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Do you love Him tonight? Is He the chief object of your affections? Do you love Him above everything in the world? Do you love Him better than you love your life? You know, we got competition. The Bible says in the last days, men would be lovers of their own selves. And it says that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We got competition. Do you love God supremely? I mean, is He the most important person in your life? Thank God that you know Him and you love Him and you adore Him and you worship Him from your heart. Hallelujah.